So, Athletics Trust Scotland have funded Run for Rivers' project in the Grampian and Young Offenders Prison now for two installments.
Yeah.
Could you, first of all, tell me a little bit more about what Run for River does, first of all, and then let's maybe talk about the prison, the kind of prison rehabilitation program you've got going on as well.
Yeah, of course. Yes. So, of course, ATS, Athletic Trust Scotland, has been one of our first organization that actually trusted Run for Ever. So we are, in a sense, very much indebted to ATS. And yes, so we started in 2023, and actually our work started in prison and is mainly focused on the prisoner population at HMPG Grampian in Peterhead prison. And we have been working for 3 years now. And of course, we work through different movement practices. Running is for sure the one everybody knows, but there's also another practices that I am teaching, which is Feldenkrais. Feldenkrais is a practice of awareness through movement. And actually the two, running and Feldenkrais, are very much interconnected in what we do. So, you know, our job is actually to bring those practices into prison, and because they are very inspiring to us, to myself in first person, because I am myself a runner, and I do Feldenkrais on myself. And I know how healing those practices are. And of course, our ideas were actually to bring those practices inside the prison. And, you know, to take a step further was also an opportunity for maybe creating bridges between inside and outside. So through those practices, we are creating groups of people, community building, in order to bridge the inside with the outside. So after, as I said, 3 years of work, the work is developing, and the connections with the outside is actually developing itself. So in different ways, in the things we do, but also in the connections with the families of prisoners, but also partners, organizations that are actually working with us. And probably, in you know, you will probably ask me more questions, and I'll get deeper in the more recent you know, developments and things that we have been doing, and I can maybe tell you a little more.
You know, one of these things that interests me is that, you know, I've maybe thought about something similar in the past in terms of, is there a more holistic way of rehabilitating prisoners to what we do now? And when I saw this, I thought it's such an interesting program to have. What was where did that idea come from? Where you went, no, do you know what the best thing would be? First of all, is to go, right, prison, I think, needs a bit of an overhaul. And to then go, we're going to bring running into the prison itself. How did those two come together?
Yeah, well, actually, you know, that was came from something very personal at the beginning, and hopefully, and probably, what happened is actually that it went beyond my personal experience. So my personal experience was, as I said, kind of 20 years ago, I started running with the idea of doing marathons. And I didn't know anything about marathons then. But then immediately I discovered a lot of passion for marathons, especially for this idea of the wall of the marathon that comes towards the end of the race. So, and this made a huge interest in myself, because I was coming from a background of being a kind of competitive person, as probably many of us are, for the kind of life that we generally live in our society that pushes us towards competition. I immediately felt that actually in a marathon you had the opportunity actually to be a little bit different, and this could happen probably in virtue of the wall of the marathon, because when you come at that point, you know that pushing harder is probably the thing that you have to avoid, and you have to really to change a little bit your mindset, and actually to accept also your weaknesses, and probably that change can be very healing. So when I started, that was my focus of interest. And when I entered the prison for the first time, I was still living in Italy at the time. And I entered the prison in Milan, where there was a theater performance showing a piece for which was called The Marathon of New York. So which was like appropriate. So it was inside. I didn't know anything, but I was myself a runner. I didn't know that you know, they were performing something like related to marathons. And actually it was really moving. I was inside the theater of the prison with the other prisoners. And when I came out, I had actually, you know, this kind of insight saying, what would be wonderful maybe to run the wall of the marathon inside the walls of the prison. That was the starting point. And to that idea, I connected immediately also the Feldenkrais practice, because when I started 20 years ago, actually the two things were together. So I was training as a marathoner together with Feldenkrais. So Feldenkrais helped me exactly in changing the mindset. So although it's a practice about the body movement, but actually is about awareness. So you had to change your attitude towards yourself. You have to be much more gentle with yourself, accepting weaknesses again. So it's very difficult actually to convey in a few words what Feldenkrais is, but for sure it's a great preparation for the wall. So actually all these things came together, and you know, we started working. Now the Run Forever is actually growing. There's not just myself. A lot is centered around myself, because of course I'm bringing running, I'm teaching Feldenkrais, but there's in particular one person that is helping a lot, who is working with me, is not just helping, who is, you know, she's Stephanie Morrison, who is an occupational therapist, and previously was teaching at RGU. She was teaching health at RGU. She has a long time experience in a prison environment. So we go there every week, once a week. And, you know, we work together. I offer the practices that I was telling you, you know, running and Feldenkrais, but she's with me constantly. And actually what we do, and what is probably the more important thing, is actually to create the environment for a kind of safe environment where that idea of relationships, community building can actually emerge. And yeah, I think, you know, many things then are developing, because through proposing running in the way that I was trying to explain, and Feldenkrais itself, it's like starting from the body and movement to touch on parts of the person that sometimes are difficult to reach, sometimes without you know, wanting to push too much into traumatic experiences of people, but actually those experiences can emerge in a kind of safe way. So when you're running, you know, everybody who runs know more or less that you start to open up. You start, it's kind of basic and simple. So you're running with someone else, and after a while your body starts to, you know, to let go, and you start, you know, to have this pleasure of talking and letting go. And although you might tell stories, that's why we you know, we have a series of podcasts on our website called Running Stories. But beyond maybe stories that you might tell in words, for sure your body starts to, you know, you know, become more alive, feeling that something is emerging. And recently, actually, it's really happening because you know, it's we were asking about rehabilitation, and I think it's kind of central. Let me just go a little bit deeper into that. We have not, in our programs, we have never asked for specific results. So we have never expected that people participating in our programs would have to produce some particular results. But now they are happening by themselves. So as I was telling you, you know, starting from the body and movement, people start to, you know, touch on their own creativity. So there are people that have started to write poems, to write pieces of fiction, stories. And, you know, recently we have developed a group that we called Writers in Residence that come up from the work we are doing with running and Feldenkrais. So are people that participate in our activities of running and Feldenkrais, doing Feldenkrais and Feldenkrais classes. And then in the end, they might, you know, being inspired, that they touch on their own creativity, and they want maybe to write a few words, and then they start to compose those words into poems, into pieces of stories. So we are helping them in a sense. Our program of rehabilitation is co-created with the people we are working with. So this kind of you know, groups starts to work together. Now we have also the Writers in Residence group, which emerge, which overlaps but are not even necessarily the same people. That, well, generally they are, but there are also other people that start to be interested in this idea of writing. But writing, because, you know, especially in prison environment, you can imagine that the people might have might not have a level of education too high, and they might be very frightened of being asked to participate in conversations and talking and writing things. And instead, for us, it's very simple. So, you know, you just do a Feldenkrais class, come to a running session, and then maybe afterwards, it's easy to, you know, having something to say and, you know, communicating with others. And this, of course, has a huge interest in healing a person. So, yeah, that's where we are.
Yeah. And I mean, one thing I thought with something like this is quite holistic as well is, how do you convince HMP Grampian to take this kind of project on? Because it's quite ambitious to be like, just let them out and run about. And, you know, what was the process to make it happen?
Well, that's very, very well asked, Michael. Yeah, it's true. It's not easy at all. It's an approach that is resisted in a world that wants always evidences and wants to see the results even before you do something. So in a sense, we have been courageous and lucky, and also lucky to meet good people at HMP Grampian, for sure. So we start, when I started, I just called HMP Grampian. The head of offender outcomes at the time was Ailey Smith, and she immediately welcomed, we found each other on the same path without knowing each other. So she welcomed me, and we started immediately a partnership agreement. And of course, it takes also time. So as I said, it's 3 years. It might be not much, but for sure, it's a lot for a small organization that's run forever to be able to survive in a world that now, as everybody knows, there are no money, no funding available for a small organization that disappear after a few months, generally. So it has been, you know, already a good achievement being able to be here for 3 years. But this is at least, you know, the time needed for developing, you know, as you are asking, how can you actually develop a trust between a big institution like the prison that, of course, is enmeshed in logics that are very generally very far from what we are talking about now. So it takes a little bit of time. After 1 year and enough, at the beginning we were working in the prison in contact with the gym staff in the prison, and it has been very good, especially for the running club. The frame we had at the beginning was more about fitness. So still in a frame which was acceptable for an institution like the prison. Then gradually we started to get to know a small team that was emerging and in the prison, which was the recovery team, and connected to that, the health and well-being team in the prison, created by another illuminated guy working in the prison with Paul Smith. And Paul is now part of the, you know, the head of offender outcomes. So is one of the responsible prison officer there, and is in charge of the outreach team and you know, the recovery team. All this new group of prison staff that are working, trying to work a little bit differently within the prison. So recently, more recently, from May 2024, we started working in close collaboration with them. And we started offering, other than running, also Feldenkrais. So that's when the real shift started to happen, because we then had the opportunity to offer Feldenkrais, which is, of course, as I, although I didn't say so much, but you might immediately have a sense of how different Feldenkrais is. Feldenkrais is not so known, is not yoga, is not even mindfulness. You can describe it along with the similar terms, but actually it's different. So to be accepted, it takes time. It takes already someone that knows you and accepts you. So we started, and of course, through Feldenkrais, then running itself started to change. Because if at the beginning, the first year, year and a half, we were offering, you know, running in a more traditional sense, in, you know, trying to develop, I don't know, couch to 5K programs, and then offering, you know, trying to organize a 5K or a 10K. Then we did also even a half marathon inside of the prison. But then we moved, and running became something different to, you know, to come to what we have been organizing for the first time last year. And now this year again, in November, we organized the Silent Run. So the Silent Run is actually something that is totally different. So it's not a race, it's a ritual for remembering. So it's a memorial run where we have opened a space inside the prison for grieving. So we are touching on something that seems to be totally unrelated to what we were supposed to do inside the prison, to bring running and bring fitness. But actually we started to open a space to talk about death. So death is a topic that generally you don't address in prison, because it's kind of hidden, and there's really difficulties in you know, grieving properly. So with this idea, in a kind of a safe way, again, we tried to offer a space for people to grieve. So people participating in our activities had the opportunity to participate in this event, but also open to even other people. And so we have just done it. Actually, it was last week on the 6th of November, Thursday, 6th of November. We did the second edition of the event. So that's it, in a sense. I don't know. Probably I said already a few things.
I mean, I think it'd be good to get an idea of, as you said, you're going once a week. I guess first of all, because something that people often ask is, so if this is allowed, like, how does it work? So I think people will always have these questions of, how is that safe? Who's allowed? Like, are you allowing anyone from the prison to go in there? Is there certain rules as to also to, you know, as one thing that people do get worried about is, will I be safe if I'm not in the prison and I am one of the people running this group? Will I be okay? So what kind of things are in place, and also like how does this work? So I think you said once a week it's yourself and the occupational therapist that go in. How does this whole process work in a kind of weekly basis?
Well, actually, we go there every week. As I said, we have two sessions, one in the morning and one in the afternoon. We are there quite early in the morning, around 8:15, and then we get in and we stay there for 2 or 3 hours in the morning and another 2 or 3 hours in the afternoon. We are always accompanied by prison staff who come and pick us up. And guide us to the dedicated spaces that we have for the sessions, or Feldenkrais first and then running afterwards. You're asking who can come actually. And in at HMPG there are 500 people in prison. 450 are males and 50 are females, more or less. Of course, you would like actually to offer our activities to everyone, but as you probably know and everybody knows, it's more complicated because of to organize everything is not that easy. So prison staff are overwhelmed. There's lack of staff and. The more you work there, the more you understand the limitations they have, and in a sense, again, how lucky we are in having the help of the people we are working with, that they are actually helping us in any way to be able to offer every week the activities, and that is also one other important point because for the difficulties in organizing, you can imagine how many programs maybe fall apart. They should be there, but then every week maybe they have some problems and they are not run properly. And of course, this has a huge impact on people in prison wanting to attend, and maybe they are not able to attend. This impacts on their healing process, on their mental health, on their trust that they have to develop. So we try actually to be always there, and actually we have just, I don't know, in the last year probably we missed one or two times. Really, we have been there always. And this is for us is kind of important. The people that actually are able to attend in basically are people that are part of the recovery team. So which are not all prisoners. So I said that we have two sessions. The session in the morning is dedicated to people participating in the recovery activity, the recovery team activity, and in the afternoon it's dedicated to another part of the prisoner population within HMP Grampian, which is the Cruden building. So there are different buildings in the prison, and the Cruden building, we have access to that building, and we offer our activities to them. We would like, having more availability of funding to offer this to others. So recently, as I said, we did the silent run last week, and the silent run we wanted actually to offer it also to the female population. And when we went there, it was just for the day, and there were already many people, many girls, many ladies participating, and they immediately asked us what we generally do, and they were interested in being offered similar activities that they are offered in the mail. And of course for us it would be wonderful to expand and expand not just to involve big numbers of people, because then goes back to rehabilitation programs and needing to have evidences and big numbers to justify the good that you are doing. And we are not saying that we don't want also a good number of people, but we want a good number to create a good group. Because if there's a good group, then the atmosphere is a good one. And we immediately felt that, for example, the female population would be very happy to receive the programs. And we are actually discussing this with the prison staff again, possibly offering sessions to them as well. And of course, compatible with the funding that we are able to receive. So yeah, this talks a lot about the problems that not only Run Forever has, but I think many good organizations are facing now.
Yeah, and I mean, I think this is what we've even noticed in athletics and other community programs that have ever kind of touched on, is there is that lack of state funding then causes communities to collapse. And you can argue there's so many issues that we have today because of that. And I think looking at your program, it's very refreshing. And I know you said that you weren't interested in results necessarily, but you also did mention that you feel there has been results. So could you tell me what positive results you've seen from the program? Because I think in many ways, I think even though, yes, it's not your focus, everyone likes to see something and say, hey, okay, it does work. And this is something that people will be very skeptical about. So then if they're skeptical, you can say, well, look, actually, you shouldn't be. Look at this. What kind of evidence have you seen that things are going the right direction?
Well, I will just tell you a few things about in the form of anecdotes, telling about particular person that comes to mind. One of them is a guy who actually participated in many Feldenkrais sessions, and once after a few of those Feldenkrais sessions, he came and he showed me a piece of paper with some written words, and he said, after last week's session, I went back to my cell, and in 5 minutes, I've written these words, which for me are a poem. And this poem actually relates to what we have done, and is a kind of hope that I have for my future life, for the connection I have with my families. So that is already a big result, being able to offer something that put seeds in a person for his own transformation. Another one that comes from running, in a sense, try to bring running with a different sense, as I was trying to tell you before. It's not that easy. I also personally don't know very well the direction. It's something that you need to explore. And I was running with with a few guys, and one of them is kind of passionate of trying to explore different paths. And he came and he said, well, can we find maybe books on running which don't talk about running just from the technical point of view, which kind of training you have to do for doing a marathon in the best time or things like that. So he suggested me, because he had a chance to make some exploration. So just to tell you that actually it triggered in a person a sense of curiosity and, trying to find his own path. So he found the two titles. One is Running to Resurrection, and the other one is Running, the spiritual side of running, or something similar. So the idea is actually now to I discussed with him and with other guys part of the running club that we might buy those books and read them together and keep them as background of a common exploration that we are doing. So The results, to come back to your question, are many of the similar examples that we have that actually tells us that we have been able to create an environment where people start to feel that they are not just receiving something from, you know, suppose the teacher coming from the outside, but actually they start to feel that those practices are, you know, they become so part of themselves that they are empowered for exploring themselves. In a sense, using us for the experience we might have to help them to develop their own path. So that's, you know, very, you know, beautiful and, you know, inspiring in a sense. Yeah.
And have you, you know, because you've been doing this for a couple of years now, I'm assuming that some of the people who ran with your group have now moved out to the outside world again. And I don't know what the process is, if you're allowed to keep in touch with them or anything like this, but is there... Have you been able to speak to anyone who's been reintegrated to society, and what was their, what did they have to say, or did you notice anything about them?
Yeah, well, actually, not many people so far, at least for the ones that we have been in touch, they have been liberated. So just a few of them, and especially with some of them, we have been able to keep some contact. So after they've been liberated, we have talked, so I was free to give them my telephone number, and also the, of course, the reference to Run Forever and the email. So we have been in touch with them. Of course, and this is touches on something that we would like to develop continuously in the future, let's say, because it's not easy. Honestly, is not easy, because when they come out, people are so disoriented, and they have so many different priorities that it's very difficult to engage them on something like running, for example. So our ideas it was and still is, in a sense, to offer a running club that overcomes the wall. So a running club that where people from inside and outside can belong to the same running club. And that's the idea, and it's still the idea, and it actually exists, but not yet in the form that we would like it to exist. So keeping the contact with them, it's our idea. The relationship we have with this recovery team that is trying to work not just for people that are still inside, but actually preparing them for when they will be outside, and immediately creating connections with them when you will be outside. Because one of the main things is that the relationship that they establish when they are inside, they seems to disappear when they are outside. And this is disorienting. This is one of the crucial point for that are the reason why many times reoffending happens, you know, because they come out because they are so disoriented, it's better to go back in. I feel more safe inside. So and that's the big thing. And what we see, although I said before, 3 years for a small organization is already a lot. On the other hand, it's nothing. It's absolutely nothing in from the perspective that your question is pointing to. So if we really want to address the bridge and overcoming the wall and creating really a running club or a Feldenkrais group that actually able to include the people inside and outside, that's a commitment that needs more work, needs more energy, needs more time. And you know, the silent run, in a sense, we did it last year, we have done a few days ago, and it happens inside and outside. So we have done it in the community in Northfield in collaboration with the Ace Voices. Ace Voices is a great organization led by Alec Thompson Miller, who is a great guy, who is a singer and a leader of this intergenerational choir. And he has already a bigger community in Northfield. And some of the families from prisoners in HMPG belong to the Northfield community. So that's why we wanted to work there. And in a sense, we are trying to work, you know, also at the beginning, I was telling you that the the idea of the bridge works with directly with the families of prisoners, but also with the organization working, which is, you know, creating the network, and it's so important. So with the example of Ace Voices, we are working also through the choir and the singing, bringing, you know, people from inside and outside to sing the same song. So we have worked outside before for the silent run with the people doing the silent run outside. And the silent run is not just the run or the walk, it's also participating in activities like Feldenkrais, but also singing together. That song has been recorded and brought inside the prison as well. So it's you know, a way of bridging, you know, through some artistic practices as well. And the other way around, so prisoners that I mentioned before have been writing pieces of stories and poems. Those poems will become, you know, songs in the hands of Alec, who is actually creating songs made from the words of prisoners, which will be sang by the intergenerational choir outside. So you know, that relationship, we are working with the institution itself to create more institutional and formal relationships, but also, and our approach is more from that perspective, is more creative and more artistic. So of course, running, Feldenkrais, singing, all these practices can enable those relationships. But honestly, I can't say, well, probably I'm also a little bit ambitious in this sense. I can't say that we have, we can see those relationships in the way I would like to see them happening already. So I hope in the future we will be able actually to do much more in that sense.
And then, you know, on that note, you know, talking about ambition and talking about resource, Athletics Trust Scotland's Transforming Lives grant has provided funding to support the programme. Could you explain a little bit more about how that money supports the programme and what more funding would do to expand what you're doing already?
Yeah, for sure. Well, actually, you know, when the first grant we received, Kyle Gregg came into the prison, and he participated to the Santa 10K run. And of course, that was at the time one of the way Athletic Trust Scotland supported us in providing, you know, the running club inside the prison, and also organizing the event itself. During the same year, we organized different other running events, so the 5K, and then later the participation into the half marathon in the Rangiri in Inveruri. Of course, that race is a race outside an official race, but we have been managing to officially register prisoners to participate in the race and run the race inside the prison. So they were officially registered, they received a t-shirt, and we organized it inside. There were kind of 20 runners participating in the race. And of course, that was, you know, all the money that you gave us, in a sense, were have been used for all these different activities. Then more recently, you know, we have developed the running from a more less fitness perspective and more healing perspective. I don't know how to define it. It would be nice to find words together how to define that. But for sure, the silent run can be, you know, the one of the result, and the money of Athletic Trust Scotland, together with the other funding that we are receiving, participate in giving us the opportunity to go in the prison every week, you know, cultivate and work on the relationship on the network, because of course the work is one day a week in the prison, but then there's a lot to do also outside the prison when you know, creating the ground of relationships needed for continuing the work, maintaining relationship inside, trying to create a culture that receive what we are trying to bring inside, and cultivate your own culture, because as I said, it's an exploration. So you are talking about having an holistic approach, and this holistic approach, which I share, of course, but on the other hand, it's also very much resisted by institutions, and you have to be very well aware of what you're doing, and in a sense share it with others in order to bring everyone on the same path. It's more or less, you know, like if you take the metaphor of running, you need to run in the same direction. So you're not running against each other, because otherwise you don't go anywhere. So you need to find and inspire yourself and others to move in the same direction. Yeah, that's, I think, what we are doing also with your help, which is hugely appreciated, of course.
No, and I think it's one of the projects that we really like show off as well. So from our side, I think it's because of its uniqueness as well. We really like to kind of showcase what Run Forever's doing. And one thing more admin-y from my side is to ask how many runners you generally get a week. Is there also, and is this up to capacity, or is there, what's the capacity and how many do you tend to get a week?
Well, yeah, well, actually, we have generally around 10, 15 people running in the football pitch. If you count all people that have taken part to our activities from the beginning, you might come to around 200 probably, because, you know, in turn, you know, people start to maybe not participating, or just they've been moved from to other prisons, or moved within the prison in other section, and so not having the opportunity to participate anymore. So if you count all of them, you come to 200, and this can be a good number to say in order to reassure that we are doing well. We are, well, of course, we are happy to have met so many people, but the more important thing is, you know, continuously trying to maintain and create relationships with the people we are working with. So recently, in the last few months, people are not changing so much. So I said around 10, 15 people coming to the football pitch, and more or less are always the same. And that is fine, because, as I said before, it can help to create a group that can really work together, and you started to develop a common language, a common understanding, and you receive, you know, generally when I go there, in particularly for the running club, of course we run, we go to the football pitch and we run, but before or after, I also bring something else. I can bring articles, I can bring photocopies of you know, running magazines, or video from YouTube. And at the beginning, it was just me, like, you know, the one entitled being the leader, the jog leader or whatever, to bring the suggestions. Now they are coming also from them. So they are so engaged that, you know, they are suggesting me, do you know about this runner? Do you know about this other thing? So just, you know, to come back to your previous question, one other result is, you know, once I went in and they were all talking, and I was curious, said, well, what are you talking about? And they said, you know, we wanted to know if you knew about this Australian guy. Now I don't remember his name, but a few years ago, he ran a very long distance, much more than a marathon. Was, I don't remember how many kilometers, but in Australia, huge distance, and he had no past as a runner, totally Totally new to running. It was just a farmer. So it was kind of a funny story about this guy who, without a past, without a proper athletic training, he came to sign up for this long race, and everybody was actually making fun of him. And instead, he came in the end as winning the race, of course. And it was kind of nice to receive from them this suggestion, because it told me that actually, in a sense, we are trying to explore this idea of running is not just running in the sense we generally think of. That started to be shared by other people as well. So.